friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, live it up, and pray it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're focusing in on Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Now, I want to say that as I record this, this is before the election, knowing that I have no idea what has happened between Tuesday and Friday morning when you may be listening to this right now. All that to say, as we continue into this season, we are reminded again and again that as followers of Jesus, our hope is not placed in a political party. Our hope is placed firmly on Jesus himself. And I think that this passage, as it moves towards the end, is really helpful in reminding us that our citizenship is in heaven as we await for a savior. We don't await a political party for redemption. We wait for a savior. That is where our hope is at. So wherever you might be at today, thinking about the political season, the election season, whatever madness is happening right now, we can confidently say, while we don't know the future, as followers of Jesus, we know the one who does. All right, now let's jump into Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Let me read this passage and then we'll get started. It says this: "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Well, if you were with us at LifePoint Worthington on Sunday, one of the things I talked about was the power that mimicking actually has in our lives. And the interesting thing is every single one of us has somebody that we're going to mimic. We have some model of whether it's a mom we're trying to imitate, a dad we're trying to imitate, a husband, a wife, a child. Like, everybody has the person that we look to that's forming how we often engage in the world around us. And one of the interesting things noticed about mimicking is that it is often those things that are caught, not the things that are taught, that have the most transformative and shaping power in us. For example, and I talked about this on Sunday, my son has a terrible issue with leaving his socks by the bedside, not getting him into the hamper. Well, after, you know, countless conversations with him about why he keeps doing this, after I tell him where his socks belong, he finally pointed out that it seems unfair to him that he should have to do something that I apparently don't have to do. And what he was getting at is, "Dad, I see your way of life, and it's different from the way that you're asking me to live." See, what for him was more powerful is not what I was teaching him to do. It's what he caught from my pattern and my way of life. And I think that's the same thing that's true as we follow Jesus. There are things that are caught by us that really shape how we understand what it means to follow Jesus. And I think Paul is inviting us in verse 17 here to mimic him. He says this again: "Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us," right? And what he's saying is that he is a picture of a spiritually mature follower of Jesus. So we are to mimic him. Now, we spent a lot of time at LifePoint Worthington talking about what spiritual maturity looks like. Ultimately, we said that it is not measured by our attendance, our activity, our resume, our record. Spiritual maturity is actually measured by our affections, right? It's measured by our affection for Jesus. And we defined it this way: spiritual maturity is friendship with Jesus. But I was very intrigued by this statement that Paul makes: join in imitating me. Because I think that there's something really powerful about that. Remember, all of us will imitate or mimic someone. And we didn't have time to get into this in the message on Sunday, but I think one of the facets that we need to explore is what happens when the person we are imitating, I'm imagining someone who you know to be a godly person who has set an example for you on how to follow Jesus, or has been formative in your life as a follower of Jesus. What happens when that person fails? What happens when something comes out about this person that has really reshaped how you think about them. I know for me, I've seen way too many pastors who I have deeply looked up to. I've read their books. I've seen them at the conference. I've listened to their talks. I've downloaded their podcasts. And then I find out years later that all along they had, an affair going on that nobody else knew about them. There was some nefarious thing hiding beneath the surface of their heart that nobody else knew. And we kind of get rocked by these moments. I'm not going to name any names. I think if you know, you know, right? You know the stories of people who have lived a double life and it's come out. You know the sting of what has happened to this relationship where you've looked to this person, you're imitating them, you're mimicking them, and then it turns out that there was a massive issue of hypocrisy going on in their lives. How do we make sense of that? What do we do with that? Well, I think it's vital for us to recognize a few things at play. First of all, I don't think followers of Jesus were ever meant to have celebrity status. And there's something about the American church that we love putting people on a pedestal. We love putting them up up on some ivory tower and making them be the end-all, be-all voice in our lives. This happens so easily. It happens through the publishing industry. It happens through the music industry. It happens through, all of the articles that we read by this person, right? Something has happened where we are tempted to constantly put people on a pedestal. And at one level, I think that vast majority of people have not had the character formation of the Holy Spirit enough to withstand that type of social pressure constantly being placed up. And I think the second piece, while we're not meant to have celebrity Christians, we also seem to underestimate the power of the enemy who genuinely seeks to destroy. He seeks to destroy people's confidence in Jesus, seeks to destroy people's confidence in his church, seeks to destroy people's ability to trust godly leadership by dismantling people very publicly. And so in a roundabout way, I think this passage is a reminder for us to regularly pray for those church leaders in our lives for whom, we have experienced a ton of formation and transformation in our own lives. Right? And I'm not saying this just to LifePoint Worthington folks to pray for me. I'm saying this to any follower of Jesus. Be reminded to pray for your pastor. Remember that your pastor is a human being who is profoundly capable of acting on temptation, of failing very publicly, and there is an enemy who would love to see that happen. Be reminded that any leader we place on a pedestal, we place them in a place that they cannot sustain by themselves. Ask that God would continue to bless and shape and protect leaders in the church, that they'd not easily give themselves over to a lifestyle that is hidden and buried and removed from everybody else. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those people of influence in your life. Finally, I would say this. We need to remember that as God begins to expose things in people's lives, when we hear of another story of some ministry leader who has been living a double life in one way, while it can be so damaging and feels like another gut punch that this has happened again in one way, it's a reminder that God's Spirit is at work in continuing to purify his church. Our hope is never meant to be in an invitation, in one specific leader. Remember, Paul says here, join in imitating me, but he says elsewhere, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ, or in as much as I am imitating Jesus, imitate me. Right? Our leaders are frail. We are human, but we ultimately look to a Savior who is not weak, who is not empty, but one who knows what it's like to be tempted and has endured through all temptation on our behalf, for our sake. So friends, when we look at this passage, it's a provocation for us to continue to pray for those from whom there is much to be caught, even if it's not taught to us. We catch a greater vision of what it means to walk closely with Jesus. Pray for their protection. Pray that God would keep them from the enemy's schemes. Let's take a moment and pray together. Father, this morning, we invite you to speak to us through your word. Remind us that anytime we encounter a leader in the church, whether that may be a pastor, a life group leader, a ministry director, whatever language we apply to that, anyone who has a spiritual influence over someone else, help us to be mindful that they also have a target on their back, that the enemy would love to destroy the work of their hands, would love to discredit them. Help us to be a people who pray, who come to you on their behalf, asking that you would protect them. Lord, we pray for the leaders at Life Point, for every ministry leader, every life group leader, every pastor. Father, we pray protection, that you would help us to be faithful to you above all things, to be honoring to you in all that we think, say, and do. We trust you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. I'll see you back here tomorrow.